Hey, everybody, we're talking about season 2, episode 10 or 11, depending on how you're counting. But the way I've been counting it's episode 11, and it's episode's called Love and Puppies. Who couldn't love anything more than a puppy? Oh, no, love, but it really is like a pun on puppy love, which I just realized this second. It starts with this dude running. And there's running music. It kind of sounds like something out of the musicals, Stomp or Blue Person Group. And speaking of blue, one thing that stuck out to me was the blue doors and the warehouses. They look like they're just fresh painted for the episode. And there's these brick warehouses. Warehouse doors, that's what that says, brick building, oh, I said, and then the TARDIS, and then we have the TARDIS theme music, the woo-woo-woo mystical music, as this mystery person, who seems friendly, walks up and touches it, and that's when you kind of see a little bit of sloppy painting from the crew, you know, no offense, It just rarely do I notice those things. Could have been the city of wherever they are. Then Rose yells for the doctor. So this character, the new character, keeps running. He's inside a warehouse now. There's a little cookie because a couple of the pieces of equipment look like Daleks. Dalek lookalikes. Industrial building opens the door. There's a being there, like a puppy, from another universe, world. There's a puppy-based being, and this character, like, does it. And this is actually a witty, fun episode. I forgot to say that. Different than a normal episode of Who. But it cuts to our character talking to the camera, and he says, if you think that was the most exciting day of my way of life, just wait till you hear the rest. Then he says, oh boy, just like Scooter said, I mean, in a different way, but just like I say on the podcast. Then the episode opens. He's back and talking to the camera. I was in person being doctor with, oh no. First he's back at the camera, I think, the episode. I'm like 2 seconds ahead of the episode. Oh yeah, there he talks to the camera. Then we're back at the warehouse with the doctor holding a pork chop for the puppy. And there's a little comedy with blue buckets and not blue buckets and Rose. And then some cartoon, endless running with Rose, the doctor, and the puppy. And the doctor told this other character to hit the road. Chase's rod and blue bucket. Oh, Chase's, they're just chasing with the red and blue buckets. Then the doctor stops. When he's running, maybe he says, don't I know you from somewhere, to this character. Then we hear TARDIS, dude, Brian's. What does that mean? Dude breaks, maybe. He breaks out of there. When the doctor says, don't I know you? Yeah, it's happening right now. Hold on. Don't I know you? And yeah, he breaks out. He says, something about that. He says, I got to hit the road. Then we hear TARDIS sounds. So while he was running, things resolved themselves, and the doctor and Rose took off, and he talks about how much he loves the sound. He's leaning against the wall. They didn't have a chance to look this up, but I know this kind of episode, it's not a recap episode, it does have some recaps, but an episode where the main characters take a break, or the actresses and actors. I didn't look that up, so I don't even know. But let's see, there's endless hallway. Oh, we already covered that. Leaning. Ursula without stairs. Then we see Ursula on camera. It's a brand new camera. The character's talking. He says, they're outside my family home. He says, the people that live there now, they're a bit severe. And I love that phrase. There's a few different good phrases in here. Oh boy, of course. A bit severe. And he kind of gives a reason, like he goes, when I first met the doctor, I was 4 years old. Oh, by the way, my name's Elton. You know, even though you're 8 minutes into the episode, Scoots, I'll share it now. Still don't know why the doctor was there. Then he has this moment. He's talking to the camera and Ursula. And he has this moment where he looks off, you know, 1,000 yard. And then he does a recap of his other run-ins with the doctor, which were the mannequin episode, 12 months later when the thing went into the Big Ben, then the Christmas Day episode that started this season off, which feels like a long time ago, which kind of did some stuff to Elton's room. And he said, I had to do a rudimentary pulley system to reach my boots. Future of the episode and realize the truth, Elton thanks. Oh, that's when, they flash forward, I think, to, like, the episode resolves everything and restores the truth, Elton thanks. I don't know what that actually means. I'm watching it right now. And then there's a sunset of a different short, sunset different shirt. I think he changed shirts, so there was a new scene with Elton. But he goes, this isn't my whole life. Let me see where it is. Let me check the transcript too. Yeah, so Elton's talking in my bed, nice and cozy. That's when I got woken up by the... Okay, here we go. This is where it gets interesting. Then he talks about how he saw the doctor. Oh, no, that's... I'm always mixed up here. No problem, though. Oh, he flashes forward to when he met Jackie Tyler, Victor Kennedy, and finally the doctor. That's what he's kind of setting up. But he goes, geez, this isn't my whole life, just spaceships and the doctor. I like football. I like drink. I like Spain. And if there's one thing I really love, it's Jeff Lynne and ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. And then he's dancing to Blue Sky, Mr. Blue Sky. Sorry, Blue Sky. I didn't mean to call you just Blue Sky. And let's see. I've seen him as a kid. Mr. Skinner. I'm ahead of myself. Jeff Lynne, Blue Sky dancing. Then we cut to Elton working on the case. He's observing a blog about the doctor with the snow effect. Never been... Signed, talking on a park bench. This is when he talks to Ursula. Then he says something about Trafalgar Square. So the spaceship. We all went to Trafalgar Square. Oh, after the and we. That's where he saw the doctor. Then he meets Ursula, who has the block. She says, "We're the Inner Sanctum. We're all studying the doctor." And they kind of talk about how he doesn't age. And he goes, that's how I met Ursula. And then there was a community of us. Ursula, for a while, was a proper mate. And then we found this community of people with stories about the doctor. And we used to meet in below the main old library on Maester Street or something. Mr. Skinner, who was also named Colin Skinner, he goes by Mr. Skinner. Also, the actor who was, I apologize, I can look it up, but he was in one of the, maybe he's in both seasons of, Alan Partridge, or was he only in the first season? I can't remember. I think he's in both. He's a bit of a, like, he plays this great foil, I guess, in Alan Partridge, which is a great, one of my favorite shows or comedies. Okay, so that's how I met Ursula. Then we had the community. This is 5 minutes in. Greenall. Let me see, because let's see. 5 minutes. I guess I'm supposed to pause it. No, this is not 5 minutes in. Mr. Skinner, Colin. Or pause 10 minutes, yeah, for something. Oh, because he's giving this presentation. So this becomes this, like, beautiful short montage. Because they say, we used to meet up and just talk about the doctor. You know, Mr. Skinner, Bliss, Bridget. And then we started talking about more things. First they do, wait a second. Here's Mr. Skinner. He's talking about the mythological structures and archetypes of the doctor, the fool, the king, the trickster, or the stranger. And it kind of shows how they're interactive. Really cool art. So he's giving that one. Then Bridget gives a slideshow about how there's more than one doctor, but the police box is the thing, and it's just shown up in history, even in Egypt. Then Bliss is showing about, like, kind of more of an interpretive art around, like physical art that she's done around the doctor and representations. But it really is more of an actual insight into who the doctor is. And then it becomes, you know, then we, so we should have a name. It gets cuter by the minute, the first act at least. And he says, London Investigation and Detective Agency, letter N. So Linda. And everybody said, he said, I always wanted to have something like fish and chips, rock and roll, Shakademus and Pliers. And Ursula says, did you just think of that? Or, and he goes, no, I've waited my whole life to use the Linda. Linda United, they say. And Ursula kind of gives him a cool look. Simon Greenall is the actor that plays Mr. Skinner. So then there's this another montage, Bridge to Shell Cooking. I don't know what that means. Cheers to Linda. They have a cheers to Linda. But then they show kind of how they're sharing. Mr. Skinner reads from his novel. And it just, like, they're people, they're living. They're kind of have, like, they're eating, they're sharing, like, truth from their hearts. They become real friends. Bliss sings some of her music. And everybody sings, I Gave My Love a Cherry. I've got a brand new pair of roller skates, a couple of on banjo. And then it just, it still gets better. Like, Elton says, I confess my love of ELO. So then we became musical, Linda, and they were singing as a group, Don't Bring Me Down. This episode is good. There's a power surge, because that's when it all changed. Victor Kennedy showed up, and the golden age was gone. And this Victor Kennedy rolls in, and you can tell that, there's something up. They don't act like there isn't. He doesn't shake hands with anybody. Solution. What does that mean? Let's get ahead here. Got work to do. Oh, there's Mr. Kennedy. Felt like we were getting closer. Well, maybe I jumped ahead. Here's Victor Kennedy. He's rolling in. Okay, they say, I don't shake hands. He goes, you forgot. He goes, aren't you looking for the doctor? You got to get to work. Oh, he talks about how the sound continues. He shows him this video. He goes, that's the sound of the universe. And he says, Elton, you've heard it before. And he goes, yeah, I forgot about it till just now. But it was the night when I was a kid and I went downstairs. And then they say, what is it? And he goes, it's his spaceship. And he says, use the Torchwood files, get to work. We got to find the doctor. Sound of the universe, Elton's attention. Once we'll be one step closer to the doctor. See, goods only sign when they leave. Victor talks to Bliss. But then there's like another montage where he says, now we're working for Victor Kennedy. I never thought about it as work from doctor. I don't know what that means. Ursula says that until now. Oh, because Elton says, yeah, we got a lot of work to do. Pause for the desk details. Okay, so then we go back to this when, like, after a quick montage, maybe this is a montage, we see Victor Kennedy's kind of totally taking things over, and he's got a desk set up in the basement. He's got globes. He's got a bust, an hourglass, three things of adult beverage, scrolls. It looks like he has three light-up globes of different colors, then one wooden globe, a bunch of, you know, brass lamp. But yeah, he's got a lot going on. Let's see if I'll let it play and see if there's anything. Oh, yeah, we're peeling out. He's got a coat rack. Elton's working with, what do you call that thing? He also has something like a Tesla lamp, but it's not. But Elton has, like, a blue, one of those transparent blue rulers that you have in, like, middle school. He raises it when he has a question. Woolwich police box. They found a clue. Woolwich. And they say, get over there. But then Elton kind of froze. And this is the beginning of the episode. Elton's the one that finds it. They do a fast forward. So then he froze. So then Victor's not nice. He says, how could you have froze? Then we see the power and strength of Ursula because she stands up to him. She says, this is not proper. We're working together, Mr. Kennedy. Don't raise your voice at anybody. And he says, duly noted, Ursula's the strong one. And then they say, we're going to switch it up. We're going to try to find the doctor's companion now. It's a bad wolf something. It protected her ID. It, also, the doctor said this, which I find, I don't like to be touched literally or metaphorically. So they head to London and Elton says, how am I going to find a girl out of 10 million people? They don't think that's going to happen. And the first person she asks, she says, oh yeah, that's Rose Tyler. She lives at Bucknell House, right down the road, number 48. Her mom's Jackie Tyler, bit odd, nice family. We get to the blue sky. Elton's running. We see him dancing. And we see Jackie at the laundry. It turns out she likes to go to the pub quiz at the Spinning Wheel pub. Elton pretends to go into laundry to do a fake wash, kind of talks about the training they've gotten from Victor Kennedy. Pretends to wash his shirt, but Jackie needs change. Now, Elton's the kind of person that carries change, maybe so he's able to make a connection with her. Her washing machine's broken. That's why she's there. So Elton starts going. There's another montage kind of Elton fixing her house, her fuses. And she goes, Jackie says to him, I should have you on tap. I liked that one. I should have you on tap, like to fix stuff around the house. And she goes, I used to have somebody named Mickey do all this stuff, but not anymore. He's gone away. And she also says, let's put on the telly and have some tea, but I can't bear it silent. She doesn't like it quiet. She goes, yeah, it's my daughter. I got a bunch of pictures of her up. She's traveling. Name her Rose. And Ellen says, well, that's a nice name. Where's she at? She goes, all over. She calls me through a mobile. Says, oh, who's she with? Mates. And then I wouldn't story far for here. Everyone proud of, I don't know what that means. She says, you're a charmer. He says, if I had enough cup of tea like this, I wouldn't stray far from home. Then we go back and everybody's proud of Elton for, you know, meeting Jackie. And, except for Ursula actually is impressed with Jackie's chest, she says. That was unexpected. They say, keep it up, Elton, buddy. Mr. Skinner and Bridget are proud. It turns out those two are going to date Mr. Skinner and Bridget. They're fixing, but then Victor Kennedy kind of takes care of that. Then there's a montage of Elton fixing Jackie's place up. And doing a lot of work there. Elton actually has abs and he wears tight pants and he has a tight butt and Jackie's checking it out. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He goes, I can't believe how much work she needed done around her place. He's weird. He says, it's like the flat, then Jackie gives him a glass of wine. She gets a little reward from a handy person. And he goes, well, I got to go. She goes, you could always splash out on a taxi, see what happens or whatever. And he goes, is this wine French? Jake says, I suppose to. I suppose so. They know how to do things, the French. But Elton's still working the Rose angle. And Jake says, my daughter's not coming home tonight, in case you're wondering. And then she's playing Il Divo. They're talking about, and then she goes, is it hot in here, or is it just you, Elton? She goes, take your jacket off. Then she spills some wine on his shirt. She goes, I'm sorry. He goes, it's fine. She goes, no, let me put it in the wash. He goes, no, it's not very much. So then she pours more wine on him. Then Elton kind of goes into the bathroom. Let's see what we got. Attaboy. Elton can't take a hint out from Jackie. Elton is fit. Because then he goes in the bathroom. He, like, takes his shirt off. He's getting ready. And then he comes out, but like without a shirt on, and Jackie's got a call from Rose, Killing Me Softly by Il Divo's playing in the background. And he says a great thing. He says, funny things you think of when your shirt's off, because he had a moment. Then the term swanning off gets used, proper mates. He says, Jackie, how about we be proper mates and get a pizza? Then we have Elton coming back with a pizza to Jackie's. But Jackie figured everything out, that he was like trying to figure out the doctor. So she's not happy. But then also during this part of the scene, there's a flashback to Ursula, because by taking his shirt off for Jackie, Elton realized he was in love with Ursula. Jackie knew because she went in his coat to give him money. Feeling hurt, Jake uses the term, those that get left behind, something, because you become hard because it is hard or something. So we really get, like, even though it's short, we get a deep insight into Jackie. She says, you know, I'm not going to, like, I'm a guardian of the doctor and Rose. Hit the road, Jack, she says, you and your pizza, tisk, tisk. Then Elton's not happy with Victor Kennedy, because he says, what are you doing, like, roping us into this stuff? So then Victor Kennedy gives this big speech, and Elton gives it back. He says, you've gone all wrong. We were having fun until you showed up. And he goes, I'm out of here. And he goes, as for you, Ursula, would you like to go get, go have a Chinese, And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, like a date. And she goes, yeah. And they go, Mr. Skinner, you want to leave with us? Like, you can't come on our date, but you can roll out with us. But then he says, Mr. Skinner, I think I got a, whoever he was dating, Bridget's phone number. I think they say good luck, goodbye. So he says, Mr. Skinner, can you stay? But then Elton and Ursula leave, but then they had forgotten their phone, Ursula's phone. What does it say? Oh, libraries. Yeah, because you see the library sign. Then they realize that something's not right, because they say, Mr. Skinner's in the restroom. Victor Kennedy says, and they say, there is no restroom. You got to go around the block to the pub. And pace of pave nouns. He's reading the newspaper, Victor Kennedy. I wanted to get a couple of reads off of that. And then we realize that Victor Kennedy is from, you know, another world too. And he's been up to no good. He's been using them, obviously. Like, they all, you know, that's like pretty par for the course. I want to get to the dialogue, but let me see this newspaper thing first. They're going to get their phone, come back, they open the door, and it looks like, let's see, what paper is he reading? The Daily Telegraph. We're going to slow zoom. I was just trying to see if it's a real paper, there's jokes on it or anything. Usually not any jokes. Looks like some people on the cover, and still zooming in. It's a little blurry. See if it goes back one more time, because it was a full close up. 4 months of, so the weather's on the backside, a couple of crosswords. There's a commercial. So it looks like a real paper. talking about the, you know, different things. So then he says, yeah, I'm a collective of I'm an absorbent collective. That's the being I am. And they say, what do you mean, absorbent collective? And they say, yeah, we do, like, so Skinner, like, and then Alden goes, are you absorbathon, an absorbling, an absorbal off? Victor goes, yeah, I like that, absorbal off. But Bliss, Bridget, and Mr. Skinner, they become part of the collective. And let's see. Sponge, yes, a sponge-like thing. Ursula's like, I can, then Ursula joins the collective. She says, you know what, Alton, not sure, but she just joins the collective. It's a mistake. Victor Absorbathon or whatever, Absorbaloff, you know, tricks her, kind of. She says, get out, Alton. Alton and Absorbaloff, they do a little running, but Alton's like, there's no point, really. Everything I've ever wanted has been absorbed. And the Absorbaloff says, dissolve into me. Then we have a TARDIS inbound. It rolls up, but it rolls up not to for Alton, but so that Rose can berate Alton on behalf of Jackie. She says, no one upsets my mom. And, you know, that makes sense, this very thing. And he goes, there's an absorber being here. And the doctor's kind of just playing coy the whole time. And then he goes, wait a second, are you an absorbatrix, an absorbiclon, an absorbaloff? He goes, yeah, an absorbaloff. And they go, are you from Slothene? Are you Slothene from Raxacophalotorpus? Raxacoracophalotorpus or whatever. He goes, no, I'm a twin planet. He goes, what's that called? They love saying Raxacoracophalotorpus. And he says, Klom. And they go, Klom. He goes, yeah, Klom. And he goes, I'm going to be a hero there when I roll back with your time machine. And the doctor goes, that's not going to happen. And he goes, yes, it is. They go back and forth. And he goes, well, one way it wouldn't is a collective decollectiving of your absorbal offing. And so that's what happens. And while that's happening, Ursula says, if you crack, he had like a little bit of a cane, a fancy cane, more of a decorative cane. Then she says, if you crack that in half, it's like a magic wand. That'll be it for the absorbal off. So he ends up being absorbed, the absorbal off. Very Whovian moment after this. Ursula becomes a part of a paving stone. Like, she becomes a collective with that. She says, bye-bye, Alton. You know, Alton's not happy about it. So Rose gives him a big hug. She feels his lost love, and she kind of holds Alton. That's a sweet moment. And you see, there's a couple of, like, endings to this, because he goes, and that's it. Almost. This is Alton on camera. He goes, because there's one more thing about the doctor. And then the doctor explains to Alton in through flashbacks how, yeah, I was at your house. I was dealing with some elemental shade. And, sorry, I was running late, but I got there. And Alton says, we forget what we must. And he says, so that's it, basically. Some good things, some not so great. I can't tell the difference. Stephen King once said, salvation and darnation are the same thing. I didn't know what he meant till now. Because the doctor's wonderful, but at the same time, I was having a special time before that, just for a bit. Had this nice little gang. And it's not his fault, but I wonder what happens if you touch the doctor, which made me think, has anyone touched the doctor? I would assume so. But I don't know if that's a thing or not. He goes, because I keep thinking of Rose and Jackie. Then we hear Ursula's voice, and then he goes, oh, yeah, the doctor used his magic wand to make Ursula a sentient paving stone. What else? Garden Ursula version. And he says, yeah, this is Ursula. He goes, it's a relationship of sorts. And there's even, like, more, like, WTF discussions in there. And it's, like, we're just one of those very Whovian where it just takes this odd little turn. And also he says, so this is kind of my girlfriend now. Also my camera, I got a new camera with a remote zoom. And let's see, Elton doesn't want a normal life. What is this? His closing thoughts. He goes, oh yeah, when you're a kid, you're supposed to grow up, get a job, get married, get a house, have a kid. That's it. Because the world's so much stranger than this. Darker, madder, and so much better. And with that, the episode ends. Okay, let's talk about some of the research that came up in this episode. The first thing was Stop, which is a musical. I think I saw it one time in New York, off Broadway. It's a percussion group, though. It started in Brighton in the UK. Uses body and ordinary objects to create a physical theater and music. Steve McNichols and Luke Cresswell started in Brighton in 1991. They first worked as members of another theater group. They were in the Edinburgh Festival in the 80s. And Pookie Snackenberger, that was their group. Pookie Snackenberger, that was their group, their TV show, commercials. Then they did some large-scale outdoor events with drum orchestras on a pontoon and a 120-piece drum orchestra. And then they, in 91, they started the original Stomp show, won Best of the Fringe, previewed in the Bloomsbury Theatre in London. Became like a 8-person outfit, went from 7 to 8, between 91 and 94, they toured to sold out shows, returned to London, did a run at Orpheum Theater in New York in 94. So this is probably where I would have saw them. And, then toured North America and Japan. They've had a larger scale one with 30 members. 2006, they had their 5,000th New York performance. They made it like an IMAX movie. They have a show, I wonder if that's still going, Stomp Out Loud in Las Vegas. Their London show did end the run. So that's a little bit about Stomp, which also brings up the Blue Men Group. Now, I think they started in maybe New York, or I don't know where they started. They have ongoing 87. They currently have productions in Berlin, Boston, Chicago, Las Vegas, New York City, and Orlando. And they, before, this is like a so culturally thing. But they have 7 to 9 full-time performers. It grew out of a collaboration between Chris Wink, Matt Goldman, and Phil Stanton in Manhattan's Lower East Side in 1987. They did as these strange blue men. They did like street theater, small shows at downtown clubs, and eventually started a full performance in the Astor Theater in 91. No, but theirs is like a little bit more of a theatrical production than just a musical production. So I think I probably saw them maybe in Astor Place, I guess. So it's a blue person group. What about this ELO that we were hearing about and Jeff Lynne? I know not everybody's familiar with it, though I am. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, is an English rock band formed in Birmingham in 1970. Jeff Lynne, Roy Wood, and Bev Bevan. It's a fusion of Beatlesque pop, classical arrangements, and futuristic iconography. Wood departed in 72, and Lynne became the band's leader, arranging, producing every album, writing all the material. For the initial tenure, it was Lynne, Bevan, and keyboardist Richard Tandy. It was formed out of Lynne and Wood's desire to create modern rock and pop songs with some classical overtones. Offshoot of Wood's previous band, The Move. Between the 70s and the 80s, they released a string of top 10 albums and 2 LPs that topped the British charts, Discovery in 79 and Time in 86 and 81. By 86, they had stopped. Bevan did form a band, ELO Part 2, which became the Orchestra. They did do a short-lived reunion in the aughts. And now Lynn and Tandy are together with Jeff Lynne's ELO. But yeah, I think that's like, I mean, their biggest hits are like Blue Sky, Can't Get It Out of My Head. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more. I mean, and then Jeff Lynne is also a part of Traffic and Wilburys and produced like albums for like George Harrison, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, Paul McCartney, and a lot of other things. So not only Jeff Lynne a musician, but is a great producer. And I guess I'm going to have to sit down and listen to some ELO that's not the top songs, because I don't think I've ever listened to just ELO by itself. So I guess I'm remiss. Okay, Trafalgar Square was another thing. That's a public square in the city of Westminster, central London, built around the area formerly known as Charing Cross. And it commemorates the Battle of Trafalgar during the Napoleonic Wars off of Cape Trafalgar. Site has been a significant landmark since the 13th century, when it contained the King's Mews. After George IV moved the Mews to Buckingham Palace, the area was redeveloped by John Nash. Nelson's Column was placed in 1844, when the square opened. There's other commemorative sculptures that occupy the square. But the fourth plinth has been left empty since 1840, but has been host of contemporary art since 1999. There's been a lot of gatherings there and celebrations. It's owned by the Queen and managed by the Greater London Authority. Let's see, what else? History, development, columns, redevelopment in 2003, the plinth, the fourth plinth, the sculptures, it's got fountains. I guess I've been there, I would assume. Sports victory parades. There's other Trafalgar Squares, of course, in other cities. I was just trying to see what tube stations were near, but I would assume Charing Cross. But that's just a little bit about Trafalgar Square. What about Shaka Demus and Pliers? That's a reggae duo. Shaka Demus, the DJ, and the singer Pliers. They had hits, the two hits that you've probably heard of, and neither one I could say in the show. Began collaborating in the '90s. They were already established musicians when they teamed up, performed together in Miami, both solo artists and together and with other groups. They appeared at Reggae Sunsplash in 1992, and that's when their first hit came out, along with a couple other well-done, you know, songs that were successful too. And they use Shaka Demus and Pliers, but Elton shared it. It was N, you know, just a letter apostrophe N. I did some Googling about the Spinning Wheel pub, because I just wanted to see if it was real and if Jackie would have gone there. But the first thing I came up with, this is this website for the Spinning Wheel Inn in Branson, Missouri. It's closed right now, I think, right, because it's off season. But they said, if you're looking for something fancy, we're not for you. If you're looking for clean and affordable, we're the perfect place to stay. And I liked that. I just liked that. And they have another property next door, 12 Oaks Inn, which says that one's not fancy either. So that's good news. But then I also found a Yelp review for Spinning Wheel London, which doesn't look like it's open currently. It only has 2 stars out of 2 reviews. And it was on Northfields Avenue in London, 227. And let's see. One user said, And the spinning wheel should be called the spinner. Oh, the spinner's great if you want to go somewhere with live music. Place looks better in the evenings after you've had a few drinks. If you find yourself thirsty in Norfields, there are better pubs. But if you fancy a boogie or some pretty good bands, come in and pop in the spinner. But I personally rated it 3 stars. That to me is a 4 or 5 star review. And then another person said they're closed. This was in 2011, and it was going to be a grocery store, Sainsbury's grocery store. So that's news. Il Divo is a crossover group. I don't know, is this the one that, yeah, Simon Cowell formed it? Worldwide Singers. It stands for Divine Performer. Sold 30 million copies of albums worldwide, so that's pretty great. They've got 2 million concert tickets. Simon Cowell came up with the concept because he said, well, if you take 3 tenors, you make them younger, multinational, and you have 4. And they said, do it. And so they did it. So they've been around since 2004. So time does fly, even when you're Il Divo. Let's see if they're still putting stuff out. I mean, I would assume Artists of the Decade in 2010. Il Divo on Broadway. They've sold 28 million albums. They won the Silver Clef Award. And then Reinventing Il Divo. So, you know, just like a lot of things, they go through different stages. That's Il Divo. This is the term attaboy got used in this this episode. And whenever I hear attaboy, I think of High Fructose and Daniel Seifert, who's an artist. I just want to link to it mostly. Just remember getting these issues of High Fructose and just looking at the art and my mind being blown. You can find out everything current over at yumfactory.com. Swanning around, swanning off, I think is what Jaggy said about Rose. So I said, "What? That's another good one, other than a bit severe." And it's an idiom that has a fairly recent origin. It means to move about aimlessly or irresponsibly in a carefree manner. So maybe swanning off just means wandering off whenever you want. First appeared in the late 19th century because it was just the way swans swim. And then I'll just close things off reading Mr. Blue Sky by ELO, Jeff Lynne. First it starts with this radio thing where it says, good morning. Today's forecast calls for blue skies. Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight. It stops raining. Everybody's in the play. And don't you know, it's a beautiful new day. Hey, yay. Running down the avenue. See how the sun shines brightly. In the city, on the streets where once was pity, Mr. Blue Sky is living here today. Hey. Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long, so long. Where did we go wrong? Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long, so long. Where did we go wrong? Hey, you with the pretty face, welcome to the human race. A celebration, Mr. Blue Sky is up there waiting, and today is the day we've waited for. Or, Mr. Blue Sky, Mr. Blue Sky, Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long, so long. Where did we go wrong? Hey there, Mr. Blue, we're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you. Hey there, Mr. Blue, we're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you. Mr. Blue, you did it right, but here comes Mr. Knight, creeping over. Now his hand is on your shoulder. Never mind. I'll remember you this. I'll remember you this way. Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Where did we go wrong? Hey there, Mr. Blue Sky. We're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you. And I think then there's a thing to turn the album over, maybe. It also reminds me of my brother, for a time he edited, like freelance edited with skateboard videos sometimes, particularly for, particularly for one actor skateboarder. When he was doing a rough cut of one, he used Mr. Blue Sky. Obviously, they didn't have the rights, so it was just a rough cut. But it was such a cool, like, there's, if you make skateboarding video, mix that song in there if you can get the rights to it, because it looks awesome. Or like a snowboarding or a skiing video, like a friend Carolyn who listens. Anyway, thanks everybody, and good night.